number 8 again. And if you need a handout, a message handout, if you would lift your hand up and our ushers will be glad to give you one. So if you need one, lift it up. Romans chapter number 8. And I want to do a part 2 of this thing of the problem of the flesh. The problem of the flesh. If you've got your handout, look at it with me. Let's read together Matthew 26:41. It's at the very top of your handout. Jesus told His disciples, remember? He said this, read it with me. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. In John 6:63, Jesus said, the Spirit quickeneth, it makes alive, but the flesh profits what?
Nothing.
Nothing. What is the flesh in the Bible? Here it is, you ready? In your handout. In the Bible, the flesh is identified as being that part of you that is unregenerate and at enmity with God, and in your flesh is said to dwell the law of sin. The law of sin and death. The law of sin and death. And listen, you know, we as Christians, many times we find ourselves struggling. You know, we find ourselves struggling to live the Christian life. We find ourselves struggling in our marriage, struggling to raise our children, struggling, like Brother Bill just sung about, we find ourselves struggling to leave these sins behind and not to do them. And you know what? Whenever you find yourself struggling to live the Christian life, guaranteed it has to do with walking after the flesh instead of walking in the Spirit. It has to do with this problem of the flesh. Now, we began studying God's Word last Sunday morning on this thing of the flesh, and I gave you two principles. I want to give them to you again by way of review, and I even left the blanks even though we covered them last week. Number one, the Christian's identity is no longer associated with the flesh. We saw last week, in fact, take your Bible, go back to Romans 7, chapter 7. And by the way, if you want to use the Pew Bible, feel free to do so. In fact, it's page 1175. Page 1175. You can take God's Word and look at it. Romans 7, verse 5. He told the church, the Christians at Rome, he said, for when we were, past tense, in the flesh. For when we were in the flesh, so that's denoting a new condition, right? They were in the flesh. Now they're not. Why? Well, he says, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. So the Bible indicates then that we have a new identity. Last week we studied out in Colossians 2 how that there was a spiritual circumcision, a cutting away of your flesh that happened when you got saved. When you received the Lord as your Savior, when you believed on Jesus, you believed upon Him and the fact that He died on the cross for your sins and He rose from the dead. When you believed on Him, we saw last week an exciting passage in Colossians where the flesh, the Bible says, is circumcised, it's cut away, and now Christ dwells in our spirit. So we have a brand new identity. The flesh is no longer our identity. We are no longer characterized by the flesh. Now our character, our identity is found in the Spirit, which is Christ in us. So the flesh, it's no longer our identity. But you say, why do I still sometimes do fleshly things? Well, number two, in your handout, the flesh cannot enslave the Christian unless the Christian chooses to follow the flesh. Last week we saw that the law of sin and death is in your flesh. But when you were saved, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus entered into your spirit. Now, the new law supersedes the old law. So you've got a new law in your spirit. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It supersedes that old law of sin and death that's in your flesh. But like we said last week, you can willingly choose to abide in the old law if you want to. You don't have to. You've been set free from that old law. That old law no longer can lord over you or keep you in bondage, but you can willingly choose to place yourself under that old law of sin and death that is found in your flesh. You can make that choice if you want to. But what are the consequences? When I choose to follow after the flesh as a Christian, when I choose to do that, are there consequences? Well, in your handout, I want you to get the third key statement. Walking in the flesh always brings dreadful consequences. Walking in the flesh always brings dreadful consequences. Now, if I could have your attention, I want to just share with you, just as your pastor for a moment, my heart, because I don't really particularly like preaching messages like this morning. It's not something that I necessarily enjoy, and it's certainly not what the church growth gurus in America tell you to do. If you want a big mega church, then you're supposed to give nice 20-minute self-help discussions and sprinkle in a lot of anecdotal funny stories and jokes and then of course sprinkle in a few Bible verses and make everybody feel good and then send everybody home on their way with their conscience soothed. Well, you know, that's what they tell you to do to grow a big church, and I don't doubt that that would work. But Paul told the church, he told Timothy, preach the word and be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He said, we're preaching Christ, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. So am I going to listen to the church growth gurus and just tell you what you want to hear? Or am I going to listen to Paul and am I going to tell you what you need to hear? I think you know the answer to that if you've been around here very long. You know that I'm going to tell you what you need to hear. And I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says, and I'm going to warn you. As Paul said, I'm going to warn every man. Why? That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's Colossians chapter 1. So this morning, this is difficult, and maybe the message isn't as palatable as maybe something else that you could get, but nevertheless, the medicine will be good once it gets inside of you, and once you digest it and you assimilate God's truth, it will be good. You see, this morning, what we want to study out is this thing of what happens when a Christian walks after the flesh. When a Christian makes a decision, I'm going to walk independent of Christ in me. I'm going to walk independent of that faith in Christ. I'm going to walk independent of that walk in faith with Christ. And I'm going to walk in my own strength. I'm going to walk in my own power. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to live the way I want to live. I want you to know the Bible teaches there are always consequences to that. Now, sometimes people accuse those of us who believe in eternal security by saying, you believe that once a person is saved, that they can live any way they want to and get away with it. And that nothing could be further from the truth. You see, I believe that once you are in Christ, once you are saved, you've put your faith in Jesus, the Bible teaches you're in Christ, you are a member of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. I don't believe you can be ripped out of Christ once you're in Christ. I believe once we're in Christ, we are in Christ, and it is an eternal position, already raised up together with Him in the heavenlies, already blessed with all spiritual blessings, delivered from the power of darkness, and translated into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I don't believe that can be changed. I don't believe you can be a son at the table, as we studied Wednesday night. I don't believe you can be an adopted son and be fully accepted as a full-grown adult son in the family of God and then all of a sudden fall out of Christ once you've been in Christ. But those who say, well, you just believe you can live any way you want to and get away with it. Oh, no, we don't. No. Nothing could be further from the truth. Here's what we believe, and here's what we believe the Bible teaches for this age of grace today. Look in your handout. It says, while you do not lose your relationship with God, there are always consequences when you decide to follow the flesh rather than abide in Christ and His Word. There are always consequences. I've got three sons, 16, 9, and 7. And when my three sons Some of the younger generation doesn't get that, but when my three sons, when they choose to disobey me and function outside of my authority, there are consequences. Now, they were all in the early service. And I said to them, when I said there are always consequences, I said they could stand up and give testimony right now. And my seven-year-old went... He didn't want any part of testifying about that. But here's my point. While they know there's consequences, they also know they're secure in our relationship. I'm not going to cease being their father because they disobeyed me. I'm not going to cease being their father because they decided to function outside of my authority. Their position in my family is not based on their actions. It's based on their birth. Your position in the family, if you're saved, is one of an adult son fully accepted in Christ. That's not going to change, okay? But just like my children have to suffer the consequences of disobedience, okay, we have to suffer the consequences of when we choose to follow the flesh instead of walking in the Spirit and walking by faith and walking dependent in Christ. We have to suffer the consequences of that. You say, how? Well, a lot of different ways, and we're going to talk about this morning. But in your marriage, in your personal life, in your own personal joy and peace, in your relationships, we suffer the consequences of when we choose to follow after the flesh. Look at Romans chapter 8. Turn over there. And in verse 1, he sets the pace here for this chapter in verse 1. And this is a discussion about Christians either walking in the Spirit or walking after the flesh. That's the whole theme here, okay, for the whole first section of Romans chapter 8. And he starts out by saying this, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Now, there are many versions of the Bible that stop right there. They cut the verse off, and they totally cut and splice it, and they leave off the whole rest of the verse. Let me read for you what the whole verse says. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." You say, wait a minute. I didn't think that we could ever be eternally condemned once we're in Christ. I thought that's what you just said. I did say that. This isn't speaking of eternal condemnation in the context. It's not speaking of your soul being eternally condemned in the lake of fire called the second death. That's not what is in view in this chapter. What is in view here is a temporal condemnation of your body. Not your soul, not your spirit. They're safe in Christ. But what it is, and I want you to get this in your handout, it's not speaking of eternal condemnation, but a temporal condemnation of your body on this earth. Take your Bible and keep your bookmarker here and go to the next book of the Bible, 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, okay, just the next book, and you should be able to find that easily. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 29, we read this passage last Sunday night and did a kind of a full message on this subject. Look at 1 Corinthians 11, 29. "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily," speaking of the Lord's Supper, "eateth and drinketh damnation to himself." He's writing to Christians, not discerning the Lord's body. Wait a minute. A Christian can come under damnation? I didn't think a Christian could come under damnation. You can't eternally because you're safe. Your spirit is safe. He's not talking about your spirit being damned in hell. He's talking about something. He said, what's he talking about being damned? Look at the next verse. Verse 30. "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." In other words, some of them had physically died. So what's the damnation? What's the condemnation? It's a temporal condemnation of your body. But look at verse 31. "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened," we're disciplined of the Lord, "that we should not be condemned with the world. He's not talking about being condemned with the lost world. He's talking about a condemnation of your physical body here on this earth. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll see this clearly here. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And we did a full message on this last Sunday night. By the way, you can listen to that now on the website. And you can actually, it'll be changed out tomorrow, but if you're interested in this, you can listen, go online to our website, and you can actually hear last Sunday night's message. Because look what he says about a man in the church in fornication. He was living in sexual sin. It was open. It was known. This man was living in immorality as a supposed believer in Christ. So what does Paul tell him to do? Overlook it, sweep it under the rug, don't judge. No, he says in verse 5, you need to deliver such an one unto Satan. You say, you mean a Christian can be delivered to Satan? Wait a minute, we're not taught. Satan only has certain, he's got limitations. Satan can only do so much to a believer. Satan cannot touch your spirit. Satan cannot touch your soul. So why is he delivering them over to Satan? Look at it. To deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the what? The flesh. That the spirit may be what? Saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. You see, folks, listen. When we choose to follow the flesh, there is a temporal condemnation that comes in that upon our bodies. Yes, our spirit is safe in Christ. Yes, our soul is safe in Christ. Satan can't touch your spirit. Satan can't touch your soul. It is safe and it is secure in Christ. But God can't allow Satan to destroy your fleshly body. That's the teaching. Now, I don't have time to go into the whole chapter. Again, you can listen to that later if you want to. But go back to Romans 8 and we'll see it again. Romans 8, verse 6. Romans 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded, that word carnal means fleshly. In other words, you're thinking and dwelling on things of the flesh. If you're carnally, fleshly minded, the result is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is two things. What are they? Life and peace. In your handout, it says to dwell on the flesh and follow the flesh is death. In other words, no true spiritual life can come forth from you when you're walking in the flesh. There's no spiritual life that can come forth when you're walking in the flesh. It's death. For instance, have any of you ever gotten very thirsty outside working in the yard? You're sweating. Man, I mean, I've been there. Man, and you're out there working, sweating, mowing the grass, and you come inside and you want something refreshing. You ever grab a glass out of the cupboard, walk into the bathroom, scoop out some toilet water and drink it? You ever do that? I said, have you ever done that? No. You say, Pastor Dan, it's right before lunch. You're grossing me out. That is sick. Why would you do that? Because I'm going to apply this in a way that you can understand. You wouldn't do that. That's disgusting. You're afraid it would make you sick and it's full of bacteria and it could even kill you. And you think, man, I would never do that. Can I ask you a question then? Why would we put toilet water in our minds? Why would we fill our mind with smutty novels, pornography on the internet, the filth, all the degradation and the filth that Hollywood can spew out? We just go and fill up our minds with it. Ungodly music that glorifies the devil instead of God. And we fill our minds, for to be carnally minded is death. And we fill our minds with all these fleshly things. And that putrefying fleshly death comes out in our actions. And it kills and it destroys everything good in our life. Just pouring toilet water in our mind. And God said the result is death. Verse 13 is going to explain that further. Look at Romans 8, 13. For if ye live after the flesh, he's writing to Christians here, if you live after the flesh, ye shall what? Die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You know what he's saying here? In your handout, fleshly choices lead to death. Your choices have consequences. Again, he's not talking about eternal death. He's talking about the physical realm. In other words, here's the idea. Flesh that is followed to its end is always going to result in death. Why? Because in the flesh dwells the law of sin and death. So if I'm following the flesh, then I'm on literally a dead-end street. If I'm following the flesh, in the flesh dwells the law of sin and death. So that flesh, following the flesh, takes me down the path of sin, down this path that the Bible says is death. It's a dead-end street. And that's why Christians can get drunk and hit a light pole and die. Christians can get a sexual disease and die. Christians can OD on drugs. You see, their spirit is safe in Christ, but they're making fleshly choices, and there you got to understand, Christian, that your fleshly body is just as vulnerable to these things as the lost person's body. Do not think you can follow the flesh and somehow God's just going to, like this doting grandfather, he's just going to protect you from all the damage that you're doing to your flesh. And he's going to wave a magic wand and it's not going to affect you. No, it will. And that's the teaching here. You follow after the flesh, there's consequences. You keep following the flesh, you keep following it, and the Bible is saying that it's going to lead you down the path of death, physical death. It's a literal dead-end street. Now, as a Christian, I believe there's warning signs. I believe that in His love and His grace, when we're following the path of the flesh, and some of you in here, you maybe right now, today, you're following the path of the flesh. Maybe it's an illicit sexual relationship. Maybe you're following the flesh in your marriage or in your what you view, what you look at, what you put in your mind, all these different areas, and you're just feeding your flesh. As you are going down that path of the flesh, God will in His loving grace give you warning signs that basically say you need to turn around, you need to do a U-turn. And all, what you need to do is praise the Lord, the mercies of the Lord are renewed every morning. I believe that if you will repent, if you will turn from that fleshly walk, if you'll turn to Jesus Christ, if you'll just put Him in His rightful place and realize you've bought me, you've purchased me by your blood, I want you to be Lord of my life. I don't want to be in control, Jesus. I want you in control. Aren't you glad God does allow U-turns? Amen. You can get off the path of the flesh and choose that you're going to walk in the Spirit. Because there are consequences. Take your Bible, turn over to keep your bookmarker here and go to Galatians chapter number 6. I'll put the page number up here behind me if you're using the Pew Bible. Galatians chapter 6, and look with me at verse 8. Again, writing to Christians. Galatians 6, 8, and this is written to the Christian. We've been studying Galatians verse by verse on Wednesday night, so you know this is written to Christians. It's written to full-grown adult sons in the family of God. We learned about adoption Wednesday night and what that means. Galatians 6, 8 says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap," what? "Corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." That word corruption there, it means decay. It means ruin. He says if you sow to the flesh, you are going to reap. You're going to harvest corruption. You are going to harvest corruption. Let me tell you this morning that Christians can abuse their bodies the same way lost people can. As Christians, we can abuse our bodies through drinking, through smoking, through overeating, overindulgence. We can abuse our bodies by holding bitterness and grudges and unforgiveness. And guess what, though? Christians also can get cancer, heart attacks, ulcers, strokes, and on and on and on and on. Now, I'm not saying that everybody that gets those things is following the flesh. I'm not saying that. What I'm simply saying is that we make choices. And the Bible says that we will reap back the consequences of those choices. In other words, somebody says, well, don't you believe I can smoke and go to heaven? Of course you can smoke and go to heaven. But I always tell them, you know what? Keep it up. You'll get there a lot sooner. You'll get there a lot sooner. Because God's not going to wave a magic wand and say, well, he's a Christian, so he can just smoke and not get cancer. No, your body is subject to cancer, lung cancer, just like this lost person over here that's smoking. And so why is it that we do things and we sow to the flesh and then we begin reaping back the natural consequences of our choices and we want to blame God? God, I can't believe you let me get this. I can't believe, God, you did this to me. Well, you know, we make choices. Christians sow, if Christians can sow to the flesh, Galatians 6:8 says that there are corrupting consequences. In other words, there is a harvest day when you sow to the flesh. In your handout, it says, when a Christian walks after the flesh, what happens? Well, here's what happens. When you walk after the flesh, Christian, frustration and misery will always result. Frustration and misery will always result. You say, you know, I've noticed that. Why is that? How come I can't enjoy sin like I used to before I got saved? Let me tell you why. In your handout, because you are walking in a way that is contrary to the holy, righteous nature that you have received in Christ. You're walking in a way that's contrary to the righteous nature that you have. You've been changed. You're a new person. When you walk in a way that's contrary to your nature, you're going to be frustrated and you're going to be miserable. In your handout, it says, the flesh can only bring temporary pleasure. It cannot bring contentment. Have you ever sinned after you got saved and you really enjoyed it while you were doing it? But when you were done, how did you feel? Let me ask you something. We got confession going on here, baby. The Spirit's working. Amen. Hey, after you enjoy that temporary pleasure, after you sinned, as a Christian, did you feel all content? When you were done sinning, did you feel good about yourself? Did you feel peace? Did you feel joy in your heart? No. I'll tell you exactly how you felt. You felt miserable and you felt empty. You say, how do you know that's how you feel when you sin after you're a Christian? Brother Rob told me. No, I'm just kidding. I felt it. Sorry, Brother Rob. But I have felt that, folks. You feel miserable inside. Why? Because you're acting in a way that's totally contrary to the righteous nature you now have in Christ. Once you are saved, at the core of your very being is God's Spirit. And listen, because your whole identity has changed and that spiritual circumcision took place and now Christ lives inside of you, that means at the core of your being, at the core of your spirit is a desire and a hunger and a longing to walk with God and to glorify Him. And so when you walk in a way that's contrary to that nature you have that longs to glorify God, then you know what happens? You feel miserable. Look back at, keep your bookmarker here in Galatians, because I want to come right back. Go to Romans 8. Romans 8, and keep your bookmarker here. We're going to come right back to Galatians. Look at Romans 8, verse 8. Let me show you this. Look at the new nature that you have now. Verse 8, Romans 8, 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, he tells these Christians. That's not your identity anymore. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. That's my identity. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell where? In you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Remember, you're crucified. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Look back at chapter 6. Chapter 6, Romans 6, 1 and 2. Romans 6, 1 and 2. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. He tells Christians, how shall we that are dead to sin? Remember that circumcision? Remember that death with Christ? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? It just doesn't match your identity. In your handout, it says it is no longer your nature to live a lifestyle of sin and wickedness. The flesh can bring temporary pleasure. It can't bring contentment. Why? Well, because it's not your nature to live a lifestyle of sin and wickedness. Now, I was hoping I'd have time to do this. Go over to Galatians chapter 5. And I really want you to see this thing in the Word of God laid out. Galatians 5, 19. Look at this, how it's all laid out. Verses 19, 20, and 21 give a dirty laundry list of the works of the flesh. When you walk after the flesh, this is what happens. You ready? Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. That's all sexual sin. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife. Is your home full of strife? Seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Look, those things are not characteristic of you because you have a new nature now. Those things are not characteristic of a Christian. You can choose to do it if you want to, but you got to understand, those things aren't characteristic of you anymore. Well, what is characteristic of us now that Christ lives in us? What fruit can I expect to come out of my life now that my identity's changed in Christ? Look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Look at that. That's what we can expect in our life when we're walking in faith, in faith with Christ. Look at verse 24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. There's that crucifixion, that spiritual circumcision. You've crucified the flesh. That's not you anymore. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, if you're saved, then that means, that's just saying, if you're saved, if you live in the Spirit, and the Spirit's in you, let us also, what does it say? Walk in the Spirit. We live in the Spirit, so it's our nature to walk in the Spirit, by resting in Christ, looking in faith to Him. Now, when we act contrary to the new nature that we've received in Christ, it always brings dreadful consequences. Let me share this with you, church. There are Christians all over there are Christians in prisons. Yeah. There are Christians that are in prison. There are Christians in rehab centers. There are Christians that are in hospitals. There's Christians that are in divorce court. There are Christians with babies out of wedlock that can attest. In fact, by the way, there's Christians who have died premature deaths that can attest to the damaging consequences of walking after the flesh. Here's the bottom line, Christian. It says in your handout, the flesh can gratify, but never satisfy. And I'm going to explain that. But true satisfaction only comes through your relationship and walk with Jesus Christ. That's where. Now, keep your hand out there because we're going to look at a couple verses. Let's say, for instance, that you just love to lose your stomach. You love roller coasters. And I mean the bigger the better. You like to lose your stomach. And I mean you like the rush that you get. And so you think in your mind, I want the ultimate rush. I want to really lose my stomach. And so you go to the top of a 20-story condo out on the beachside. And you climb up to the top and you say, boy, is this going to be gratifying. I am going to have an experience I'll never forget. I'm going to lose my stomach like no roller coaster can ever give me. And so you jump off that 20-story building. You start to plummet to the ground and the wind is rushing in your face and you got your hands up and you're going, woo! And I mean, you're losing your stomach like never before. Total gratification. It can't satisfy you. Because the gratification is going to come to a halting end when you go splat. That's just like the flesh. It can give you this temporary rush. The flesh can gratify. But remember this, it can never satisfy. It can only a walk by faith in Jesus Christ daily can satisfy. In your handout is a verse there. I want you to look at it. It says, Philippians 1:11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. That word filled means satisfied. Being filled. Oh, I'm satisfied. How? With the fruits of righteousness, which are by who? Jesus Christ. Unto the glory and praise of God. Look at Colossians 2:10. And ye are complete. That's the same word as that word filled in the Greek. And ye are complete. You're filled. You're satisfied. How? In Him. In Christ. I'm fully satisfied in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Christ alone is sufficient to satisfy you. The flesh will always leave you empty, miserable, high, and dry. The flesh will never satisfy you, but Christ is sufficient to satisfy you as you walk by faith in Him. Can a Christian choose to follow the flesh, yes or no? But are there consequences in your body, yes or no? Yes. Is a Christian delivered from the consequences of walking after the flesh, yes or no? No. A Christian's not delivered from those bodily, temporal, physical consequences. We saw it in God's Word today. Hey, your spirit's safe in Christ Jesus, but your fleshly body is just as vulnerable as a lost person when you choose to follow the flesh. Let's go to God in prayer this morning.